We're bored. We're all bored now. But has it ever occurred to you, Wally, that the process that creates this boredom that we see in the world now may very well be a self-perpetuating, unconscious form of brainwashing created by a world totalitarian government based on money, and that all of this is much more dangerous than one thinks? And it's not just a question of individual survival, Wally, but that somebody who's bored is asleep, and somebody who's asleep will not say no? See, I keep meeting these people. I mean, just a few days ago, I met this man whom I greatly admire. He's a Swedish physicist, Gustav Bjornstrand, and he told me that he no longer watches television, he doesn't read newspapers, and he doesn't read magazines. He's completely cut them out of his life because he really does feel that we're living in some kind of Orwellian nightmare now, and that everything that you hear now contributes to turning you into a robot. When I was at Findhorn, I met this extraordinary English tree expert who had devoted his life to saving trees. He just got back from Washington, lobbying to save the redwoods. He's 84 years old. He always travels with a backpack because he never knows where he's going to be tomorrow. And when I met him at Findhorn, he said to me, "Where are you from?" And I said, "New York." He said, "Ah, New York, yes, that's a very interesting place. Do you know a lot of New Yorkers who keep talking about the fact that they want to leave but never do?" And I said, "Oh, yes." And he said, "Why do you think they don't leave?" I gave him different banal theories. He said, "Oh, I don't think it's that way at all." He said, "I think that New York is the new model for the new concentration camp, where the camp has been built by the inmates themselves, and the inmates are the guards, and they have this pride in this thing they've built. They've built their own prison, and so they exist in a state of schizophrenia, where they are both guards and prisoners, and as a result, they no longer have, having been lobotomized, the capacity to leave the prison they've made or to even see it as a prison." And then he went into his pocket and he took out a seed for a tree and he said, "This is a pine tree." He put it in my hand and he said, "Escape before it's too late." See, actually for 2 or 3 years now, Chiquita and I have had this very unpleasant feeling that we really should get out. That we really should feel like Jews in Germany in the late 30s. Get out of here. Of course, the problem is where to go, because it seems quite obvious that the whole world is going in the same direction. See, I think it's quite possible that the 1960s represented the last burst of the human being before he was extinguished, and that this is the beginning of the rest of the future now, that from now on there'll simply be all these robots walking around, feeling nothing, thinking nothing, and there'll be nobody left almost to remind them that there once was a species called a human being, with feelings and thoughts, and that history and memory are right now being erased, and soon nobody will really remember that life existed on the planet.
Yes, sure.
There is
Mr. Ishakwa.
Mr. Austin.
Yes.
40 years ago, you told an interviewer, "If you can laugh at something, it has no power over you." Do you still believe that?
Yes, because it just sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
Now I'm going to think about it. Let's see, why is that? It's good, isn't it? I mean, actually, when you really think back, when I really think back to...
Which isn't too far.
As Peter said, I can't go too far. Bad brain. Peter's right about FM radio, freeform radio, what we actually came out of, what we actually... How
created.
In God's name we were created. These four odd people that, in a sense, had never met each other.
Four
had
is
not
even.
Been for the radio, yeah. We came out of. We also came out of this odd period that we've all, obviously, looking at our age, went through, of turmoil and foment and revolution, etc. And God knows all those words come rushing back at you in that world. And obviously, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I'm in there just blathering away. I'm 28 or 30 years old or whatever the hell I was, trying to talk about power, which is what, and then we would sit in writing sessions and try to work out the idea of power in terms of our work and all that, the grid and power and this and that. And it all got down to the feeling. Peter and I were both incarcerated by the Army for a while.
At that time?
Yeah.
At the time we were in the Army, reserves.
Everybody was running scared. Everybody, we as a generation were scared shitless.
They called Beat the Reaper when the draft at Yale. In the alumni magazine, they used to have this thing called Beat the Reaper, which was when, you know, picking numbers out of a hat. So, yeah. You know.
So we all tend to on the, now that period of time, the period of time we all kind of rise out of, it is seen as kind of cutesy and charming, the way people look at the 50s now. And, you know, all those adorable hippies and all Woodstock and all this stuff. And everybody forgets the amount of fear and concern, particularly among intelligent people.
It's quite true. Males, particularly amongst males.
Yeah.
Draftable males.
We were trying to sort of ride right at the edge of commerciality and non-commerciality, and trying to make sense of what the hell we thought about anything, and still try to make comedy records at the same time.
True.
Thanks, Kat. I hope that's a great answer.
Strange memories on this nervous night in Las Vegas. Has it been 5 years? 6? It seems like a lifetime. The kind of peak that never comes again. San Francisco in the middle 60s was a very special time and place to be a part of. But no explanation, no mix of words or music or memories can touch that sense of knowing that you were there and alive in that corner of time in the world, whatever it meant. There was madness in any direction, at any hour. You could strike sparks anywhere. There was a fantastic universal sense that whatever we were doing was right, that we were winning. And that, I think, was the handle. That sense of inevitable victory over the forces of old and evil. Not in any mean or military sense. We didn't need that. Our energy would simply prevail. We had all the momentum. We were riding the crest of a high and beautiful wave. So now, less than 5 years later, you can go up on a steep hill in Las Vegas and look west. And with the right kind of eyes, you can almost see the high water mark. That place where the wave finally broke and rolled back.
So then I knew that long ago, when the mist was raw, Neil saw the Three Stooges. Maybe he just stood outside a pawn shop or hardware store or in that perennial pool hall door, but maybe more likely on the pavings of the city under tragic rainy telephone poles, and thought of the Three Stooges, suddenly realizing that life is strange and the Three Stooges do exist, that in 10,000 years, that all the goofs he felt in him were justified in the outside world, and he had nothing to reproach himself for. Bonk, boing, crash, skiddly boom, pow slam, bang, boom, wham, blam, crack, frap, kerplunk, clatter, clap, blap, fap, slap, map, splat, crunch, crouch, bong, splat, splat, bong.
666,775, 666,776, 666,777. The tracks can be numbered so they exist. Do I? Gotta keep counting these railway ties. Ties I've broken, lies I've told. Sure, it's cold in this desert. I thought Mexico was supposed to be warm. Maybe just the tequila warms the worms, but not me. I'm not food yet. To what extent is this active hearing, this acoustic atom, alive? Have I created a parallel universe within consciousness, so we are not alone in the unity of our unbeing? Every car I stole as if it were an hour. I got everywhere faster than anyone on half the gas. Ghost of a Buick dream, body by Fisher, tires from my own rubber tree, Jubilee. Fishermen kneel heavy nutrients, almost sink them. Neutrinos zing into existence. Lizards slither into extinction. I had the 54 caddy floor down in New York. Man, I was the hat of Manhattan. That car could roar. The Rockettes turned to dust in my gaze. My own private Giza. Now pyramids chase me everywhere to flatten me like a pizza. No, can't die yet. More ties to count. They can't do it themselves. I gotta help them. My penance, penned words unremembered, grooves in the dunes, smiles in the wind.
Let's go, Neil.
Oh, Cyrus, you've come down from your stars for me.
There are no stars in your journey, just Earth. Welcome home.
Om. I thought you were a myth.
No, Neil, you're the myth. I'm just your guiding star.
How far do we go? I'm so tired.
Life is a ferocious mixture of oxygen and imagination. How far go your furies?
On beyond all. The 61st minute of the hourglass.
Sand beyond sand.
Alas. Alas.
Neil.
Moment in space-time when the world's already sparkling luminosity is sparkling twice as hard. Flowers take on new definitions of glowing, and each fraction of reality discovers its own inner light. Mirroring the moon, sand grains softly surround fallen Neil. The light's not out, just taking a break.
Into a survival trip now. No more of the speed that fueled the 60s. That was the fatal flaw in Tim Leary's trip. He crashed around America selling consciousness expansion without ever giving a thought to the grim meat hook realities that were lying in wait for all those people who took him seriously. All those pathetically eager acid freaks who thought they could buy peace and understanding for $3 a hit. But their loss and failure is ours too. What Leary took down with him was the central illusion of a whole lifestyle that he helped create. A generation of permanent cripples, veiled seekers, who never understood the essential old mystic fallacy of the acid culture. The desperate assumption that somebody, or at least some force, is tending the light at the end of the tunnel.
La 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 of peace. Won't you hear our plea? Ring your bells of peace. Let loving never cease. Oh my love, hey, hey, oh my love, hey, hey, oh my love, hey, hey, oh my love.
Bells of peace, let loving never cease. Prince of peace.
please, won't you hear our pleas? Ring your bells of peace, let loving never cease.